the potter and the clay. You were made with purpose. But what I'm going to title this message, and I'll give you the title here in a bit. When I was in high school, for spring break, everybody would go down to Port Aransas, South Padre. And just one time I said, you know, I talked to a friend of mine. I said, I don't want to go to the beach. I want to try something different. What do you want to do? I said, let's go to New Mexico and let's go skiing. Okay. We'd never been in snow, never put on skis. So we go out there to ski Apache Mountain, not in New Mexico, drive up there, and I'm like, oh, it's snowing. Oh, this is great. They have no outfits for this. You know what someone told me? Hey, take some Scotch Guard. Like, that's really going to work. So we took Scotch Guard and you think, like, we got this thing. Put on these skis. I'm watching everybody ski at a distance. And me and my friend Renee, he had the sense to kind of like, well, I'm not too sure. So he held on to his skis. I'm thinking everybody's on their skis, so I put my skis on now. Y'all are laughing. Maybe I've done it, but there's these things called a lift that take you up a mountain. Then they drop you off. I'd never been on this, what you call a ski resort. I put these skis on, and all of a sudden I start sliding backwards. I don't know how to stop. The only thing I know to do is just to throw myself on the ground. So I throw myself on the ground. My skis still keep going. And I start sliding this way. I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm going, My friend is laughing at me. Because I start sliding back, and there's this deck from where everybody's sitting outside. So everybody's watching me, laughing at me. Just laughing, and pride, everything. Okay, forget it. I messed up. So I take the skis off. Here comes the ski instructor. And then you know how they do that? And the snow. Really? And then she turns around. Hey, how you doing? She says, you need some lessons? No, I got this. Now, you know, now I'm going to be all Rico Suave now, just trying to dust myself off. And then she looks down, and all this water is just beating down. Because of all that Scotch Guard, it's just beating down. She says, it's still cold, isn't it? And I said, yeah. She says, are you all right? Yeah. She says, you sure you don't want no lessons? And I'm over here thinking, I only brought enough money for food. Beverage, you know, high school. And so I was like, no, I got this. Have you skied before? Oh, yeah. And my friend the whole time is laughing. So I see people get in this line to get on the lift. So I'm thinking, okay, let's get on the lift. When things go wrong, just know that it happens to me. Just know it. So I get my skis. I get on this lift. It takes me up this mountain, right? I'm scared of heights. It starts off low, and next thing I'm looking down above these trees like, and then I'm holding on like this. My friend's on this side, and the whole thing begins to shake, and he's getting real like, what's going on? Man, I don't like heights. And I'm looking down, and I can see these black things, the top of a head, just going like this, skiing down, like, oh, Lord. I got on the Black Diamond Run. Some of y'all know what that is? That's the one where these experts. So there's no stopping the lift. Your skis are on. The thing pushes you. Well, needless to say, it pushed me, and there I went again. I don't know if it was such a great idea, but determined. I got up. My skis on. I didn't know it was a black. I didn't know what black, red, green, yellow. I didn't know what it meant. So I turned around this tree, and you know the momentum's starting to take me. Lord Jesus, I got saved that day. I start going down this hill, and I think I made it about from here, really to about where Katrina is. And I ate it. And about six or seven of those, and my ski's going like this. And then, you know, when you go like this, the skis lift you up, and then you come back down. So I'm doing that whole number. And my friend, he just took off his skis, and he walked down right past me. So guess who comes off the lift next? The same instructor. What are y'all doing up here? You want a lesson? I ain't got no money. Don't worry, come back down here. You're on the expert level. Just get me down. So walking all the way down the mountain, I'm thinking to myself, you look like an idiot. And, she's a ski instructor. And I'm like, oh, she's pretty. And I mean, I messed up. I ain't got no game. She says, don't even go on the lift. Just stay over here in the bunny slopes. So I'm thinking, what are bunny slopes? He says, do you know how to plow? And plow. I ain't no farmer. She says, no, you put your skis on, and you wait. You want to stop. You move the skis in like this, and you start plowing. When everything can go wrong, who does it go wrong with? Me. So I do this. My skis cross, and there I go again. Man, I'm just a hot mess. And this girl, she starts teaching me. She starts teaching me and my friend for free, right? And so I'm getting the groove of it. She goes, okay, now I'm going to take you on the yellow slope. So we get on the slope. She takes me up on the lift. It's not real high. It's just like above y'all's head, just like this, right? Drops me off. So I make it down. Yes! I got victory. So I come back down, and I'm plumbing down the hill like this. My legs were so sore. But I get down to, and I see this tree, and it's not moving. I didn't learn how to turn, Jeff. So I'm doing this like. So the only thing I know to do is fall backwards. Whoop. Still sliding on my back towards the tree. When everything can go wrong. Jeff, I ain't going skiing no more. So I'm plowing towards it, right? I hit the tree. Bam. That wasn't the end of it. When I hit the tree, I get turned. Here comes this couple other skiers behind me. I cause an accident. I remember this very, very well. Because one of the ones that you know, fell and crashed was the instructor that was teaching me. So needless to say that what I'm going to title this message is sliding backwards. When you think that you're in control and you think you're in the right direction, sometimes you get put in neutral. And you start getting pulled back. You start sliding away from the direction you should be going in. Amen. Well, I want to show you in the scripture how Peter did the same thing. Peter did the same thing. Can you go to the next slide, please? I want you to go to Luke 5, 1 through 11, please. Get in your Bibles. Can we turn? No, never mind. We'll leave that on. Go to Luke 5, 1 through 11. If you don't have your Bibles, I have put this scripture on the slide for you, the entirety of this scripture. But I'll have reference for you on some other scriptures I want to take you to. Luke 5, 1 through 11 reads, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that it began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he had all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish when they had taken. And so also were James, John, the sons of Zebedee. Okay? And who were partners with Simon. These are the partners of Simon. like my friend that was partnering with me and just left me. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you prepared the hearts and the minds of the people to receive. And Lord, that you've anointed me to preach and teach your word, Father God, as it is the truth of the word of God that sets the captives free. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name that every demon, every devil is bound right now in the name of Jesus that brings about distraction. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to share with you is I'm going to share a couple of things that whether I finish or not, I will make sure that you have the entirety to understand that if we ever put ourselves in neutral in our Christian walk, we're a detriment to others. We're a detriment. I didn't know how to ski, but just because I didn't pay attention to the signs, I got on the wrong slope and I caused some accidents. Even the one that was there to teach me and help me, I caused accidents on because I was in neutral. You understand? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you just caused so many accidents? I don't mean a car accident. I mean, you just had to say something like, oh, I could put my foot in my mouth. I should have never let that one out. That's the one that causes more damage than anything else. We all get there. We're there. But I want you to take notice that Jesus called them. But Jesus went to them in their profession. Went to their profession, got into the boat with Simon, and he calls Simon to become fisher of men. Right? So he does this in front of his partners, or really his brothers, his family. He says, I've called you, follow me. So they leave and they follow, right? So Simon is not alone. He's with people that love him and care for him. So Simon's probably thinking, if you continue reading on about, Peter is one of the characters in the Bible that I can associate with very, very well. Because he's a knucklehead. He's hot-headed. He's quick to speak, not slow to speak. He tells you how it is. He's willing to fight. And he has a tendency to cower at times. We do that too, right? Okay. Now, here's what I want to share with you is he only knew him as teacher in the boat. You saw that, right? Teacher, please, I'm a sinful man. So he recognized something about him, but he didn't quite understand who really Jesus is. In our Christian walk, we understand that Jesus is our Savior and that once we accept him, we get saved for eternity into the Lamb's Book of Life and we're going to heaven. But what we don't realize is if that's the only thing we do, we can hinder other people that are watching us because we're staying idle and we're not engaging to move forward. We have to continue to get around Christians that are having the same mindset to learn more about Jesus, one, and kingdom, second. It's one thing, everybody says, I know Jesus. You may know him at a distance. You may know him only what was taught to you, maybe Sunday school, or every now and then when you used to go to church, like on, you know, Easter and Christmas. But the reality is there's also another facet of Jesus. It's called the kingdom. You must know about the kingdom and how the kingdom operates. For all these, I got young teenagers in here, right? Raise your hand. Young teenagers in school right now. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to see your hands. Raise your hands. Okay. All right. Now listen up. Listen up. I'm going to break the message down for elite and those that are learning to become elite. You hear me? Now, you went from elementary school to where? Not y'all them. Where? Middle school. From middle school, where do you go? From high school, where do you go? Amen. Good. So you're going to follow those steps because you said it in church. So don't be liars now. You're going to follow those steps. Parents, I just helped y'all out. Now, but watch this. Watch. Now, here's Peter. He has an understanding that Jesus is teacher because he was teaching people, right? I'll say elementary. He was learning something at a level that was only where his faith was at, his knowledge was at. But God began to show him immediately, because watch this, you're a fisherman, but I'm going to make you fisher of men. Does that sound funny? Okay, be real with me, because you know, you've been in Christendom for a while, because you make fisher of men. You see all these signs out there, I'll make you fishers of men. So you understand somewhat. But he didn't understand that. He goes, I'm a fisherman. This is my trade. This is what I do. But you're telling me I'm not going to fish for fish. I'm going to fish for men. How does that happen? But something inside of what was spoken made them leave their business. Do you understand? So there was something intriguing. In other words, like when you leave, like most of y'all, you know, got tired of, you know, having to take naps. Most of y'all still want to take naps in high school, right? How is it that when you're in elementary school, you don't want to sleep for nothing because you're like, oh, you're excited. But when you get to middle school, you want to take a nap. When you get to high school, you're always sleeping in class. You always want to go back to where you messed up the first time. You want to go back into your elementary school days, right? But here's what he was trying to show him was, I got to show you about the kingdom. If you read on in the scripture, the first thing that Jesus does after he calls him, they go start healing people. Does he not? Do you read the scripture that way? He starts healing the people. Just watch it. It's so good. Follow me, Angelica. Follow me. I'm going to make you fishermen, right? And you're a fisherman. But before I show you how to fish for men, watch this. I'm going to go cast some demons out, and I'm going to heal somebody. What is Simon, what is Simon learning? Is he learning about Jesus or the kingdom? Thank you, kingdom. You're part of the kingdom. He hasn't taught him anything yet about Jesus yet. What he's teaching him is how what I do here, this is what you're going to be doing for the kingdom work later. This is how you beget men into the kingdom of God, by a display of God's love. Amen. Simon then had an understanding. Thank you. You can see me. Simon then had an understanding that there was more power than just speaking. You had to do. But sometimes in Christianity, like, you know, like your pastor was, I know I got a ski, so I'm going to put my skis on. Sometimes we put things on, like our gifts and our talents and all of that fire, the zeal. But we're not in position. We're not in position. We put it on too quick. So when we get saved, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, and I'm going to go heal some people. I just want you to watch. But all of a sudden, people think, I'm going to go heal everybody too. You said I can do it, so I'm going to do it.
That's right.
I'm going to heal somebody. And then what happens when they don't get healed? Then you start questioning and doubting who? Don't put your skis on before you get over there and start learning how to stop, first of all. Secondly, how to turn. And thirdly, how to get out the way. You understand? See, so I thought I knew how to ski just because I saw it on TV. And trust me, I watched so many programs about... And here's the reason why I thought I could ski. Because then I used to roller skate when I was going about knee high all the way up. Roller skating is the same thing. No, it ain't. I found out the hard way, Melissa, the hard way, the wet way, too, because you're all full of that, the snow, and it just melts, and it's cold. But one thing I know, I got, Mama's in the back. Before we went, I said, Mom, I need some gel. She gave me this hard stuff. It was like a helmet. Me and my friend's hair looked good. Going down the slope, even though I was tumbling, boom, 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 all the snow would just come right off, and it's a, You remember Johnny Bravo? Remember Johnny Bravo? I had that thing. And it would move. But that was some good stuff, Popo. Well, anyways, I got sidetracked. I got to get back. But I thought for sure, just because I was watching these programs on skiing, never been skiing before, that me and my friend, as long as we watch it, we'll learn what we do. But we didn't know the dynamics of it. We didn't know what not to do before they were able to do it. So I was the one falling right in front of everybody right there at the lodge. And where the lodge is at, that's where all the drinkers were at. So they heckle you. So the next day, I'm just going to tell them myself. The next day, we go up there. And I think I got this because remember, I learned how to do the plow. So I hung this bag called the Boda bags. You know what those are? Boda bags. It's a pouch that's supposed to be made out of leather, but it was pleather for us. And we would fill it with Jack Daniels and a splash of Coke. So I figured that if I was going to go down, I wasn't going to feel it. When things go wrong, who does it happen to? So here I have this water, you know, this Boda bag filled with a beverage. So here I go. I think I got this now. I'm still on bunny slopes. The tree hasn't moved, and I know it hasn't moved, and here I go straight towards that tree again. So what I do this time, I start to plow, and I already start kind of learning how to turn, so I turn. So I don't hit it head on, I hit it sideways. So, wait, watch this. So when I come down the hill getting ready to go up on the ski lift, they pull me up. You're too drunk. I ain't having had a drink. I'm wet because it busted. And then they said, well, you're not supposed to have it. What happened was I have a sore throat. We make excuses for our mess-ups, don't we?
Yeah.
We just make excuses. So did Peter. Peter made excuses. Simon starts to look at things, and as he begins to progress in the knowledge of who Jesus is and begins to understand the kingdom mindset, things begin to challenge Simon. What I want you to understand is that when God calls you, he calls you knowing what the outcome is, regardless of your mess-ups. Marty, I know you mess up. You can't ski. You're not going to be a skier. I never said you're going to be going to the Olympic skiing. What are you doing? You're Mexican. Go out to the beach. I'm just playing. Don't get offended. I'm talking about me. What are you doing trying to be over here getting in the snow, and you don't even like getting snow all in, you know, all over the place? You don't even like the cold weather. Just go to the beach where you were supposed to be. So here I am thinking, what am I doing? We're there for the week, but we only spent 2 days on the mountain because after the second day, we had enough. So much humiliation. I said, this ain't for us. I'm done. Well, Simon knew that if I follow Jesus, I may learn something new, but I have my business that I can turn back to. If you read the story on in the Gospels, when Jesus is taken, where do you find Peter? Back fishing. Going back to what he once knew. But God saw him as a fisher of men. Okay? You know that your family's watching you and how far you get along with God. Bless you. If you're going to make it through the season of being a Christian when it gets real tough, watch this. Because they're all fine and dandy when you're on fire for God and the zeal, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to take on every demon. I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to prophesy and prophesy. I'm going to do whatever kind of thing I can do. But as long as it looks like I'm in church and I'm doing something, then they're going to know I got to go to church with you. So they're watching you, and then all of a sudden, trouble comes your way, and boom, it hits you. And you're cussing like a sailor. Forget church, and forget this, and bleep that, and bleep that, and bleep that. And they're like, welcome back, Peter. Welcome back. Because it's so hard. God sees beyond that. He sees beyond your falls. He sees beyond the mistakes that you make. And what he sees is himself that he's given you and what he created. Some of you think that you're nothing but a lump of coal. But he sees that diamond that was in the rough. So I don't know what I'm going to become. I'm just a lump of clay. He sees a potter that is molding it and making it into something beautiful and useful. And then when you mess up, you think, oh, that's it. I'm through. He's going to throw me away. No, he's not. He's going to fix the edges.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's going to help you through what you're going through. Like the kids that have a tendency to do bad in school. Have bad grades because you choose to have bad grades because you just don't want to do the work. You want to act like you're it. You're the it person in school. I almost said church. Like the Christians in church. I'm the it person. I mean, in school. Because you're in school, we want people to look at you with what you're wearing. You want people to know that I've got the latest iPhone, iPod, whatever, or the iTunes stuff. Because you want to be up to date. You want everybody to know that my status is just as equal as yours. But the reality, God wants you to succeed. He doesn't care what other people think about your status because he sees beyond where you're at now. He sees where he's bringing you and leading you to. Amen? Amen? But we have a tendency to look at ourselves and say, but I'm a nobody. He sees a somebody. Well, I'm sick. He sees you healed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Kingdom mindset changes the way you see and think because Jesus sees you in the kingdom sense. Amen? Now Simon. Now watch this. And I'm sure, can we, there it is. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. You have it? Yes. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am I." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Who is he asking now? He's asking his disciples, in which he has called unto them. He is asking them, "But who do you?" He's identifying now, because you've been and spent time with me now. Now, who do you say that I am? See that? So everybody else is giving these kind of things. And then watch this. Here's my brother. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said it like that because he knew. You know how when you got the answer, like, "Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh." Remember that horse shack? Some of y'all older folks, look at me. And welcome back, Carter. Ooh, 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 ooh. Remember horse shack? Come on, talk with me now. You know Vinnie Barbarino? Huh? And Warren Epstein. And I, ooh, ooh, ooh. Simon was like, "Hey, I got this. I know who you are. I followed you. I'll forget that fishing boat. I know who you are. I'm going to follow you now." You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. Go back one, right? And then let me down. Pay attention. Jesus answered, said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." Okay, watch. Where did he go now? Back to the state when he came forth from the parents. Simon Barjona, I'm identifying with you that this is who you are when you were born. That's what I said. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I want to go back. Hold on. Right there. Now listen. Simon is now getting revelation knowledge of the identity of who Jesus is. Do you see that? Now, watch what happens here. Now he is in the midst of his brothers, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, okay, the sons of thunder, the ones that were fishing with him, his partners. This is what's going to happen when you begin to get revelation knowledge, what's going on in your walk, getting closer with Jesus, understanding kingdom. People are going to be around you when things begin to shift and change, that your identity begins to shift. Because then he begins to call him the rock. Now, how many people that you know that they know you? They know you. You know they know you. No, they really know you. Okay, not just in church, but they know you. You know the crowd that you hang around that you don't bring here? That crowd, they know you. That's the one I'm talking about. I'm being real with you. They know you, much less your family knows you, right? So now Jesus says, "You're Peter. You're the rock. And upon this, I'm going to build my church." What is this? The rock. What is the rock? Not yet. Revelation. Revelation knowledge of who he is. Watch this. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Watch. "And I will give you," now who is he speaking to? Peter. Why Peter? Because Peter got revelation knowledge of kingdom and Jesus. What has happened? Remember I said earlier, we're in elementary school. We're getting ready to go to recess. But in recess, we just want to go play and have fun. And we want to act out some things that maybe we think. Now Simon has an understanding who Jesus is. Now he's graduated to a level where things begin to change. Do you see that? So because he graduated out of that, the infancy stage, now he's at a place in his life and his walk with Jesus and the kingdom of God in Christianity that I have a revelation knowledge of where I'm really living now, as opposed to just seeing it be displayed. I'm going to be living it now, because I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, what is he saying? Because your revelation knowledge of who I am is going to continue to have you move forward. I have given you the keys for that. Did he give him the keys before this? No. There wasn't a transfer yet of power yet. Do you see that? Now, am I going to have a who's in elementary? Raise your hand in here. Elementary school. No? Nobody? You're in elementary? You're what, fifth grade? Fifth? Okay. Elementary school. High school. Okay. High school. Leave them up. High school. Leave them up. Do you remember a lot of the stuff that you did when you were in elementary school? Do you remember it? Okay. Do you remember anything that you did in high school? No, because you haven't been there. But we have a tendency because we think that we're in the kingdom, I can do all of it. I'm not going to make you take a PSAT score, a test, while you're in elementary school. Why? Because you haven't learned everything you need to learn for you to be tested on. Now, when you get revelation knowledge and what God has given you on how you're supposed to walk and be in the kingdom, oh, you'll be tested. Be tested. We can go next time. I don't like that subject anymore. Let's go next time. Then Peter took him aside and began to watch. Oh, this is perfect. Watch this. I think we missed a little bit here. But Jesus begins to predict his death. That he's got to go to the cross and be crucified. They knew what crucifixion was. They understood that. Verse 22 says that Peter took him aside. I'm going to take Jesus aside. And I'm going to rebuke Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Here's Peter. I'll fight for you. But I got to rebuke you. You ain't going to go do that. Watch this. He just changed his name to Peter. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine what his family members and his partners were saying concerning Jesus? Jesus, you done lost it for real. First of all, I know who Simon is. You don't know. I cut up with him after he leaves church here. We cut up, and he gets down and dirty. I know him. And you're calling him the rock, and you're going to build the church upon him. You know Peter's going to mess up. And now you call him Satan? Oh, you right on it now. You right on it. You ever been there when people are just waiting for you to mess up?
Yes.
And, oh, there's the devil that I knew. That's it. Welcome back, Carter, baby. Welcome back. Whew, man. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Yeah. What you said now? Take notes. Six steps that lead to an idle Christian. Six steps that lead to an idle Christian. These are your references on Matthew 26, 17 through 58. Luke 22, 31 through 34. Luke 22, 54 to 62. Backsliding is not moving forward in Christ. If you're not progressing forward, you're idle and become a detriment to others. Get out of the fast lane. Move over to the far side of the road to let others pass you by so you yourself don't cause others to fall. I'm going to put that on the website. Yeah. I like it. Look at here. I told you I'm acting silly today, boy. Shoot. Six steps that lead to being an idle Christian. Who do you think I'm going to take in reference to becoming an idle Christian? Peter. My man, Peter. Peter's my man. Now watch this. Who has Matthew 26, 17? Can someone get it, please? Because that I did not put on the screen. Matthew 26, 17 through 35. You got it? Let me get you. I want you to read it. We're going to follow along. I promise not to keep you here too much longer. I'll finish up next week. But I want to get to at least 2 points, okay? Continue on, please. It don't matter to me. Just read.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover supper?"
17 through 35.
35. Well, that's going to stretch my eyes. As you go into the city, he told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with the disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover supper there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with his 12 disciples. While they were there eating, he said, "The truth is, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, one by one, they began to ask him, "I'm not the one, am I, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who is eating with me now will betray me. For I, the Son of Man, must die, as the Scripture declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for my betrayer, for better for him if I had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Teacher, I am not the one, am I?" And Jesus told him, "Yes, well, you have said it yourself." As they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body." And they took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which seals the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out, so forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
All right, what I want to show you here as he's read in the scripture, I want to show you where it's at. And you see that they have come to now to take part in the Last Supper. Now they are all there at the table together, and there's going to be a betrayal. And the betrayal is coming. Once the betrayal is there, you know that Peter is like, okay, oh, he said that one of us is going to betray you. We're going to turn on Jesus. But watch what I find is very interesting, that it's not until after that they know that Jesus has said that Judas Iscariot is the one that is going to be the one, that now Peter begins to step forth and watch what is displayed. And it's very interesting. It's the pride of Peter. The pride of Peter comes forth. And it's one of those things that in verse 33, in Matthew 26, it says, Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing too. Now, isn't it interesting? Once you know who the one that's going to betray, now all of a sudden you're going to speak up and say, "Oh, but I'll never deny you. I'll never betray you. I'll never do this." The things that you say you'll never, you're going to do. You're going to do. "I will never put myself in a situation that's going to cause people to stumble and fall in Christianity." You're the one you're going to be used. Because you're going to let your guard down. So what is the first thing that causes a Christian to become idle? Pride. Pride. Because he became Peter, the rock, and I've given you the keys to the kingdom, and I have understanding now. I'm going to declare that I know all things. Have you ever run into people that know everything? And you hate talking to them, like, really, you do? Because they always say things that it just rubs you, like, the wrong way. They're a kind of rub that if they rub you wrong, it's going to just kind of strip all the skin off of you. Because they rub you wrong, or they really rub you wrong. To the point, like, you want to be like Peter and cut off their ears. You have people like that. We get there. Okay. Now, this isn't... Peter, I love you, Peter. What's wrong with you? So pride is the first one. Reminds me of, I was talking to my brother John the other day on the phone, and by the house there's a pond, but it's drying up because there's no rain. He says, I could see the very bottom. There's no water there. Well, we used to go feed the ducks. Well, and we used to throw rocks. I mean, we used to feed the ducks. And Joseph used to eat the bread that we were feeding the ducks. So we'd be feeding the ducks, and we'd look at it, and Joseph's just eating, right? Well, there's also frogs in the pond too, right? You ever been around a pond? Okay, This is a true story. This is a true story. Now, because the pond is going dry, the frog looks at these two ducks. It's a true story. And says, look, I can't fly, but you can fly. Why don't you put this stick between the beaks, and then I'll grab hold of it with my mouth, and you fly me to the next pond. And I'll just hold on. Right? It's a true story. And so the ducks do exactly what the frog says. Picks up a stick. We grab one side and grab the other side. So the frog comes down. He grabs it with his mouth. And the final one. And this guy is going by the pond, getting ready to go by there. And he sees this thing going on. He says, man, that is nifty. That's crafty. That's intuitive. Who thought of that? And the frog says, I did. True story. Y'all haven't seen it? It's a true story. So the frog croaked. He fell down. Why? Because pride always comes before the fall. If the frog would have just kept his mouth shut, his life would have been saved. Right? The duck said, I ain't stupid. I let go. I keep flying. But the frog, it was holding on. But I want people to know that I came up with this idea. I did. Before I leave this earth, y'all going to know I came up with this idea. You just didn't know you were leaving this earth that quick. Pride comes before the fall, and that's what Peter was doing. His pride is what brought him out of certain things in his life, but God still used him. God still used him. Very powerful. Very powerful. Now, what I want you to look at is on verse, I want you to go to verse 50 in the same Matthew 26. Go to 50. Says, and Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, put your sword back into the place where all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will not once put a disposal of more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? Who was he talking to? Peter. Now, why would Peter reach for a sword when he's a fisherman? Wait a minute. It's like, son, you're a fisherman, and you're going to reach for a sword, and why would you cut off the ear? Why would you cut off the ear? In other words, he missed the mark. He was trying to kill the man, but he just cut off the ear. Peter was not a warrior. You don't read anywhere in Scripture that he was a warrior. All you read that he was a fisherman. And he just wanted to, I'm going to fight. I'm going to use what I know. I'm going to use my own strength, my own power to protect the cause, to protect Jesus, so that I can still be looked at as the one that fought for Jesus. Kind of like how most people depend on their own strengths, their own strength. As opposed to God's strength. Do you understand? So one of the other scriptures that you read about later that I'm going to show you is that Peter relied on his own strength as opposed to God's. That was the other key that made him become idle as a Christian, or make him become idle to walk away. I think go to the next slide, please. Here's this one. Number two is lack of prayer. You can write these down. Lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. Did you write it down?
Yes.
So is it important for you to write it down?
Yes.
Did you write it down?
Yes.
Okay. Just make sure you wrote it down. Did you write it down? All right. Now we see in the story that Jesus now, after Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes to go and pray, right? He goes and prays so much that sweat has turned now into blood that is coming out of his head because he's praying that the cup of all the sin of this world is taken away from him. But he tells his disciples to stay, watch, and pray. What happens to Peter is that he doesn't pray. He does what? He falls asleep. How many of us, when we try to pray sometimes late at night, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Y'all pray. Some of y'all don't pray. Don't be lying. Some of y'all, when y'all pray late at night, you start falling asleep in the middle of your prayer. And Lord, I just thank. Amen. Amen. So called by yes. A prayerless life will cause you to become an idle Christian. A prayerless life will make you become an idle Christian. Now, that prayer doesn't mean that you've got to be all Holy Ghost filled and go into tongues and or go into a declaration. Just pray. Just pray. Make it communion with God, and he begins to speak to you as you speak to him. Now, for you youngsters in here, do y'all pray before you take a test? Be honest with me. Y'all pray? Say it. Thank you for being honest. Say it. No, I heard you say it. I heard you say it, Alexis, right? No. Sometimes we don't because we think that we already know because you studied this and that. Prayer is going to help you bring peace to your mind to have a more clearer thought so that you can see the things right. Prayer is necessary. Peter, first of all, had pride. Lack of prayer in the garden, didn't pray. Not only that, watch this. Oh, this is so good. In Luke 22, 31 through 34, remember that scripture? Luke 22, 31 through 34. This is where Luke gives the account of the same thing. It says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. That's something. Why would Satan ask for you personally? Why would he ask for you personally? How many of y'all feel like Satan's just been attacking you? What if he went to Jesus asking for you personally? Delfina Montelongo. Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. Well, that may make you kind of, uh-oh. But here's the most powerful thing that is said. Jesus says, but I have prayed. That's Jesus speaking. That's Jesus, God himself, speaking flesh, saying, but I have prayed for you. Not that it doesn't happen, but that when you fall away, that when you return, you feed my sheep. If you knew that Jesus was praying for you every day and you could hear him praying for you, how many of you would have a different outlook in life? Here's the truth. As long as you can hear, see, or touch, or feel, you have your senses that are appealed to, and you have a little bit more strength, a little more pep in your step, because you know that he's there. Yeah. But what you cannot see, just know that it is happening. He's there on your behalf. Now, he was trusting in his own strength when his zeal cut off the ear instead of God's strength. Number four, falling at a distance is what I'm going to I'll finish up with next week. But here's how we get in trouble. Most of us follow Jesus at a distance, as opposed to being in close proximity with him. Do you understand? Remember when I got on your face the other night? And Jesus wants to be intimate, but most of the time, turn your head. That's what we do. Jesus comes, but we turn. We turn away, we turn aside, and what happens is there's a great falling away. The scripture talks about it in the last days, there'll be a great falling away of the faith. And there's so many Christians today that have left the church. The church. Why? Because we haven't seen manifestations. We haven't seen the demonstration of the kingdom of God. So it was easy to go back to where we once were. And you find later in scripture, that's what Peter did. Peter left because he denied. And I'll finish up next week. And he goes back to where he first started. But Jesus came and met him right there. I don't want you to ever feel that you're not able to do the things that God has called you to do. But it's very important that you don't fall prey to these things right here. The six steps that cause you to be an idle Christian. And the reality, that's six steps to becoming a backslider. That's what that'll happen. You know how I know these? Because I did it. And I did it, and I was out of church for, well, we'll just say for a little while. Out of church for a little while. Probably the best thing that ever happened to me is when he took care of me. And he began to show me about him. Not only did he show me about him, he showed me about kingdom. How many of you would like to know where you're going next? What the next step in your life is going to be, right? because you don't want to just stay put right there. How did it feel like you were giving your testimony that within 60 days there's going to be a promotion, there's going to be an increase in your pay? Yet in your mind, you rationalized it, right? You rationalize it. We go back to the intellect right here to try to get us to think how it's going to take place. There's no way, because I know what has already been written in the bylaws of this, how I'm supposed to do things. I'm on a probationary period for 12 months, but God has a plan for you. And if God said it, it's going to take place. It's going to take place. So he did something. I love how you said it. He goes, so I wrote it down, and then he began to pray about it. And then he said on the last week of the 60 days, thank you, Jesus, for doing it. And then he says he had to apply. Why? Because this wasn't just going to fall on his lap.
Amen.
I'm waiting on my Boaz. And you never leave your house. You never go out. You never paint your face. You never curl your hair. You never put perfume on. You don't even put your underarm deodorant on. You never even put on the dress on. And but you want your Boaz to come? Oh, let me help some of the men. I'm going to have my wife is coming to me. Your wife ain't going nowhere near you unless you go out and just present yourself. Some of the things that we're waiting God to do, God said, I've been waiting on you. I have been waiting on you. I want me to get a new house. Your credit's jacked up. You need to clean it up. But I'm waiting on God. No, can you take care of the areas right here that need to be taken care of? But you haven't taken care of them yet. I'm gonna get my new house. Well, you better have money come to you like supernaturally to get it, because your credit is bad. Can we be real here? Let's go back to Christianity 101. You get saved, I believe God for everything. It's just going to show up my door. Mr. Perez, here's your millions. That's God. That's God, because I said yes to Jesus. Yeah. Before it comes to you, you get tested. Before you graduate high school, you get tested a lot. Before you even get out of elementary school, you got to pass, what's that test called? Star test, whatever. The teachers can't even pass it. Principals can't even pass it, and they want to enforce it. Go figure. Here's what I want to tell you guys, to just focus on the first three. Your pride will keep you away from God. The lack of prayer is going to keep the power away from you. And trusting in your own strength is going to get you in so much trouble. You'll hurt other people as opposed to doing harm to yourself. And you don't want to hurt other people. You want to make sure that you're helping people. Okay? Zeal is that fire. Remember I did that thing with the clicker of the fire? Fire, fire, fire. You're burning people without applying wisdom. We've seen that happen for too long. God has a plan and a purpose for you. If you have something that you're praying and believing God for, stand firm and know that he's bringing it to you. But he may require you to do something that you've never done before. Maybe I need to say that because you ain't responding right. Maybe he's going to require you, go like this, me, to do something I've never done before. He's got to stretch you. Maybe he's got to get you to be nice as opposed to being a bully. Oh, y'all thought that was going to go the other direction, didn't you? Maybe he wants to get you to understand that I have blessed you even in your mess. I have given you ideas, but you haven't activated these ideas. I have given you plans, but you haven't activated the plans. You get lethargic and you just sit there believing God. We have a lot of Christians that believe God for so many things, but yet they don't get what they ask for, so they turn away, they fall away. Because they become idle. They become idle. Don't be idle. Don't be idle. Turn to God and know that he will demonstrate the kingdom right before you and bring change in your life. If you feel that today in your walk, you're idle, if you feel that you're idle in your Christian walk, I charge you in view of God's mercies that you be exhorted into the knowing knowledge of the kingdom of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And together, you can see that you'll become an impact to the kingdom of God. Don't backslide. Don't be idle. Don't be in neutral. Put yourself in drive and go forward. Don't go backwards. Go forward. Don't have the tendency to go back to what you once knew. Go to a God that he wants to show you more of him. You understand? Amen. Stand to your feet if you would please. I will finish this next week. Also give you a brief